practice your word of prayer. Father, I thank thee for this evening time. And God, your words are holy words. Whether we preach in India or around the world, your words are holy words. God, I pray this evening that we will listen to your holy words and we thank thee for your holy words. Please give us thankful hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Very familiar chapter, this chapter, because we find that God's calling, God's commission for God's work. And also, Isaiah, he hears a voice from God. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? That is verse 8. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Now, in the Old Testament, we find God spoke to people, prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, and Ezekiel, and many other prophets to tell the Israelites, you have gone away from God, now come back to God. That is the main message of all the prophets. And that is the reason all these prophets, they started their messages by saying, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. It is not from me, it is from Isaiah, but it is from God. That is the way they started. And now when this book was written, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up. When Isaiah was writing this book, there were so many ungodly things were happening. Idol worships everywhere. Temple prostitutes everywhere. People were doing various sacrifices. People were going away from God. Even the biggest surprise is, people were taking bribe to kill one another in Isaiah's time. That's what the history says. So in such a worse situation, when Israelites, God's chosen people, were going away from God, this godly man said, I saw God. You people are saying there is no God. You are going away from God. But I saw God. I think there is no big difference, the time of Isaiah, his time, and the time that we are living today. And the wise man, King Solomon, said, there is nothing new under the sun. Such a time like this today, when so many ungodly things are happening around us, let us stand and say, I saw God. Once, about 8 years ago, one evening I had a very bad chest pain. I told my son, you take me to the hospital as soon as possible. So he took me, went to that, what department you call? Emergency. There was a young doctor. He kind of looked at me, gave me some tablets, one injection, and he said, Mr. Abraham, something wrong. I'll call for the specialist somewhere at the other side. She will come and look at you. So she came and she said, oh, Mr. Abraham, you're a lucky man. You should have had a massive heart attack, most probably a stroke, a dead vegetable. Then she said, there's a man up there looking after you. In a very feeble, weak voice, I said, doctor, there is a God up there looking after me. I heard in Australia, I have been living 27 years, I have heard many times the Australians say, that's a man up there, that's a man up there. I pray when we hear someone say that's a man up there, God will give me the courage, God will give me the boldness, God will give all of us the strength and grace to say, my dear friend, there is no man up there, but there's a living God up there. There's a God up there, there's no man up there. See, the kings, Joseph and Daniel, they were standing before the king. The king says, I had some kind of a dream. Now you give me the meaning. What did Daniel and Joseph say? We can't do that, but there is a God in heaven who reveals the mysteries. There's a God in heaven who reveals the mysteries. Verse 1, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. Please look at the two words, two important words, high and exalted. He was telling the Israelites, you are saying there is no God, but I saw God seated on a throne, high and exalted. The message is this: let us lift up, let us exalt Jesus Christ in our lives. Exalting Jesus Christ in our families, in our ministries, lifting up Jesus Christ in our workplace and in our community. Verse 2 and 3, it says, above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings. Then verse 3 says, and one cried to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. These angelic beings, they are saying, holy, holy, holy. Our God is a holy God. Psalm 103, very familiar Psalm, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. You are to be holy because I am holy. Matthew 5:48. Be holy because your heavenly Father is holy. In India, if you ask a Hindu man, how many gods you have? A lot of Indians are in Perth. How many gods you have? A Hindu will say, we have 3 million gods. I do not know what kind of computer they used to count all these gods. But they will say. But we Indians, when we stand among the Indians, we say, we have only just one God. He is the holy God. He is the living God. He is a holy God. He is a living God. And sometimes when we go to Hindu homes, in these 3 million gods, they will have maybe some houses 50, some houses 100, some houses 10, the God's pictures, the idols. And some homes, you will find Jesus Christ there. Then we tell them, that's a good opportunity. See, you have all these gods. I have come to talk about this God, Jesus Christ. We praise God for that. And also in a jovial way, I tell the people, you have already 3 million gods. So why can't you take one more God? Already you got 3 million gods. The message is, God is a holy God. And I pray that God will put more holiness in my life, in all our lives, in our activities, more holiness in our families, in our discussions, in our plannings. There was an Indian lady working in a factory somewhere near Malaga. Those days, is over 25 years ago. And she was telling the place where she works, about 25 men and women were working from morning till evening, all filthy languages and filthy songs. Then I asked her, now, how did you manage to work in that such a place? You are coming from a good Christian family. Now, this is what she said. Stanley, I am a worship leader. She goes to a Pentecostal Assemblies of God church in Vanaru. Stanley, I am a worship leader. So when these people speak all those filthy words, what I do, I humming or reciting those words in my heart. Then she told, I learned by heart, I can sing about 50 hymns. So such a worse situation, this lady, she maintained the holiness in that workplace. And we praise God for that. I do not know, sometimes you might be going through some rough and tough times in your workplaces, community, in your neighborhood. What did Jesus say in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 33? In this world you will have troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Little bit, I changed that verse in a jovial way. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart, take heart. If you don't take heart, you will have heart troubles. Take heart. Yes, we will have troubles. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said, verse 5, chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. All the Christians in Australia, all the Christians in America, in England, in Sri Lanka, in India, around the world, they can expect three things. What are those three things? People will insult you. 100% guaranteed. People will persecute you. People will insult you. People will say all kinds of evil things against you. In such times, when these things happen, take heart. Be of good cheer. In India, near my orphanage, I do some ministry with another pastor. In that village, people never call me Stanley. They never call me Abraham. They will never call me pastor. They call me Pagala. Pagala means, almost all the pastors, preachers, that's the way they call Pagalas. Pagalas mean, I think in Australia you have a word screw loose. In Sri Lanka we have nut loose. I think nut loose, screw loose, all are one and the same. That's the insult. What Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 10. We are fools for Christ. He did not say we are wise people. We are very intelligent people. We are very smart people. But he said we are fools for Christ. So three things we can expect. Insult, persecution, evil things. Also I read a joke somewhere years ago. Three rings we should not forget in our lives. Three rings. Engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the third one is suffering. Engagement ring, wedding ring, and suffering. Part of life. God is with us all the time. Verse 5. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. Isaiah realizes what kind of a man he was. And what kind of a neighborhood he was living in. And he said, God, I'm a sinful man. My community, my neighbors are also very sinful people. When Isaiah said that one, God did a wonderful thing in Isaiah's life. That is verse 6. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. God did not say, Isaiah, you are a useless man. You said you are a man with unclean lips. You are a very useless man. You are a sinful man. But God touched him and said, your guilt is taken away. Your sin atoned for. My dear friend, this is the good news we have. To tell the people, God is willing to touch your life. Whether it is India or any part of the world, God is willing to touch your life. God is willing to touch me. God is willing to touch our neighbors, our family members, our community. And God is willing to set us free from gambling and drug addicts, prostitution. So many people are involved in. But the good news is, God is willing to touch them and God is willing to set them free. We praise God for this gospel, the wonderful gospel. And I pray that God will always keep his blessed hand on my life. And I pray God will always keep his blessed hand in each and every one of your life. Dr. Billy Graham's book I was reading, this godly man, as we know, he passed away. And one of his books he said, if God should take his hands off me, if God should take his hands off me, I would have no more spiritual power. That is very true. That is true. And I pray that God will graciously keep his hand on each and every one of our lives. Also, somewhere I read this afternoon, interesting thing. Today's reality. What is happening today? Big house, but small family. More education, but less common sense. Advanced medicine, but poor health. I like this one, the fourth one. Touched moon, but neighbors unknown. High income, but less peace of mind. High IQ, but less emotions. Good knowledge, but less wisdom. Lots of human beings, but less humanity. That's kind of a situation we are living, but we have to say that Isaiah, I saw God, whatever happens, I saw God. I have experienced God's goodness. And such a time like this, I pray that we will see God. Now the last one, last part of my message. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. We live in a very, very busy world. Do I listen to God's voice? Do I listen to God's voice? Do we take time to listen to God's voice? And again, Dr. Billy Graham, in a book he said, too long you have been listening to the presidents. Too long you have been listening to the politicians. Too long you have been listening to the army commanders. Now the time has come for you to listen to the voice of the Almighty God. I strongly believe that what he said is very correct. Now the time has come for us to listen to the voice of the Almighty God. Do we give excuses when God tells us to do something? Some men in the Bible, we find they gave some excuses. Moses, when God asked him to lead the people Israelite, he said, eloquent, not very good with words. That's what he said. Good excuse. I can't go. I can't talk very well. Another man, Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 6, God, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. That is the excuse, he said. Then there was another man, Jonah. God asked him to go to the city. He said, Nineveh or Nineveh. Go and preach against it. But he went somewhere else. Today people are very smart. Especially I find these little school children extremely smart to give excuses. Are we giving excuses to God? Whatever it is, we have to consider whatever it is, it's all God's work. Cleaning, God's work. Preaching, God's work. Counseling, God's work. Giving a food parcel, God's work. Everything, each and everything, we have to take it as God's given ministry. Do we give excuses? A small boy, he was catching fish. There was a big sign, do not catch fish in this river. But this boy was catching. A man was passing that way. The man asked this boy, boy, can't you read that big sign? The big sign, it says, do not catch fish in this river. Now this is what the boy said. Sir, I am not catching fish. I am teaching the worm how to swim. Are we giving excuses to God when he asks us to do something? Or do we say, like Isaiah, God, here I am, send me. Please specially pray for India. We got 1.2 billion people, huge country, but the workers are very few. The Bible school numbers are coming very down. My wife, Jansi, she came from India just on Friday evening. And she went to different churches to encourage the young people to get into the Bible colleges, to get some training, because we need more workers in that country. The harvest is plentiful, my dear friends. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your words. God, I pray that you will use each and every one of us. Oh God, help us to hear your voice. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And God, like Isaiah, help us to say, here am I, send me. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. God, I pray for this, the special Easter fair, the meeting that evening on 25th. And God, I pray the people will come from the community. Somehow we pray that, oh God, we pray, you will open their hearts and minds to come and to know the love of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you will bless Pastor Ian and the whole team, all the people, the young people, that you will help them to use all their God-given gifts and talents for God's work. As we go to bed tonight, please give us good sleep, good rest that we need. And please help us to see the next day and the coming days. And please give us thankful hearts in all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.